Today's year in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Kesubos. We're going to begin all the way at the bottom on Samach Omer Aleph at the two dots, five lines up from the bottom, and Mitzvah Hashem will finish off Samach Omer Beis and do Samach Aleph today. Again, to help us catch up a little bit for the Yomim Noraim days that we can't dictate. So we begin five lines from the bottom, Samach Omer Aleph, and we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Piresh li achar esrim v'yaboa chodesh v'chozar. We had the opinion of Rabbi Yeshua that said that a woman is allowed to go and nurse for even more than 24 months. However, that which is allowed to go and nurse even up to 4 or 5 years of age is only if she was doing this continuously. But if she stopped and then the child was restarted, that's considered yonek shesh. That's like she was suckling from an unclean animal, and that is inappropriate. So Gemara says, what is considered stopping? The kama. How much do you have to stop in order for it to be considered halachically a stop that would be considered kionek sheretz if she were to continue? So we have two opinions. Amar Yehuda bar Chaviva, Amar Shmuel. The first opinion is really the same as the second opinion, except it was stated as opposed to taught in a brisa. So the first opinion is that Rabbi Yehuda bar Chaviva said in the name of Shmuel, Shlosha Yomim. If she stops for 3 days, that's considered that she stopped. This is, of course, assuming that it's not because of an illness or because of some other problem. It's just talking that she could have nursed, but for whatever the reason, she didn't nurse for these 3 days, so that means that they stopped. And this is after the 24-month period of time. During the 24-month period of time, it's not a problem to restart. But after the 24-month period of time, according to Rabbi Yeshua, if she stops intentionally for a 3-day period of time, then it's considered if she restarts as kionik shekets. Ikadi Amri, the second version was that it wasn't just a statement that Yehuda Bar Chaviva said, it was Tani, Yehuda Bar Chaviva. He learned a brisa, kamei de Shmuel, in front of Shmuel. Not that he said it over in Shmuel, but he learned the following brisa in front of Shmuel, Shlosha Yomim, that it is this 3-day intentional stopping period of time that would make it that she's kionik shekets if they would restart the nursing after that 24-month period of time if she stopped for 3 days. Okay. Tanya Rabbanan, we learn the following brisa, Mei nekes shemes bala, besoch esru v'yabor chodesh. If a woman, Nebuch, lost her husband during the 24-month period of time when she's nursing her child, so she shouldn't get remarried. Harizalo tis ares, she shouldn't even do the erisin, and certainly velo tinasi. We'll see, the Gemara in Yavamos, we learned that this was a gzera, that we say if we allow her to become an erusa, which she wouldn't live with her husband, we'll see in a moment why that's a problem. Even if she's not going to live with her husband, we don't allow her to go even do erisin because of the concern that she might come to marry her husband. And if she comes to marry her husband, what would be the problem? Then, as we turn to Samach Omer Beis, the problem that we have is that we're concerned, as Rashi says, in the top Rashi, Shemot Tis Aber, maybe she'll become pregnant with her new husband, V'titztarech Ligmol Es Benoi, she won't have enough milk and she'll end up stopping to nurse her child because of the different hormones that would now occur during pregnancy, so she wouldn't have enough milk to nurse her child. Ubal's that this husband, this new husband, ain't Aviv. He's not the father of the first child. That was never her first husband that passed away. She yikne lo beitz v'chalav. And the Gemara in Yevamos had said that how is any mother allowed to live with her husband? Because maybe they'll get pregnant again in the next 24-month period of time. Lactating women can get pregnant. It's less likely, but they can get pregnant. So how could any woman live with her husband in the first 24 months after she gives birth? Maybe she'll have another baby, and that will dry up her milk. And in those days, they didn't have a lot of formula available, and they didn't have wet nurses easily available, so it would be a real danger for the child. So the Gemara in Yevamos said, as Rashi points out over here, the husband who is the father of that baby is going to supply his wife with lots of extra beitzim and chalav that she'll have a plentiful supply of milk. But the new husband, he says, listen, that's not my responsibility. And he may not be so forthcoming to give her lots of extra food, beitzim and chalav, and that the woman might end up drying up her milk and it will hurt the first child. The chachmon al-sak causes sakana to the first child. So therefore, that's why we just said the last line of Amud Aleph, she's not allowed to become even an arusa. We make the arusa because of Xera, Lotinase, Ad Esim Yabar Chodesh, until the child is weaned. And then, no problem if she goes and gets married to a new husband. This is the opinion of Rebbeir. Rehuda disagrees. Rehuda Matir Vishmona Sur Chodesh. He allows you to even get married after only 18 months have gone by. What's this machlokes? So, you see the same machlokes is parallel between Reb Meir and Rabbi Yehuda is paralleled by Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Amar Rabbi Nosson bar Yosef, Hein Divrei Beis Shammai, the words of Rabbi Meir are the exact same words as Beis Shammai. In other words, the same Shita. And the words of Rabbi Yehuda, Heinei and Divrei Beis Hillel, those are the words of Beis Hillel. In other words, Beis Shammai and Rabbi Meir both say you have to wait 24 months, and Rabbi Yehuda and Beis Hillel say you only have to wait 18 months. As the Gemara says, Beis Shammai omrim esav yavar chodesh, Beis Hillel omrim shmon osar chodesh. So these two Shitas parallel each other. Amar Shimon Gamliel, Ani Achriya. Other side of the gears over here, as you can see, in Oz Gimel, in the Masoras HaShas, Ani Afarish. He will say, I will come to either a compromise sheet or I'll explain what the real sheetahs are between Rebbe and Yehuda and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. So he says, I will explain as follows. The Divrei Omer, according to the opinion of Rebbe and Beis Shammai, who say, Esum Yabo Chodesh, so muteresli nosi bi Esum Yechod Chodesh. They're actually allowed to get married after 21 months, because it would take, even if she got pregnant that night, it would take 3 months to go and dry up her milk. So when we said that she can't get married for 24 months, it means she can't have a child that would dry up her milk for 24 months, which means that she could already get married after 21 months, because even if she got pregnant with a new husband on the night of her wedding, it would take 3 months for the milk to dry up. So therefore, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel's opinion is that Rav Meir and Beis Shammai don't really hold 24 months she can't get married, but they hold it's really 21 months that she can't get married. And Divrei Omer b'shmonas chodesh, going to Rabbi Yehuda and Beis Hillel, they say she get married after 18 months. The same 3 month additional benefit of getting married earlier applies there as well. Mutli nosi b'chamisha chodesh, she get married to a new husband after 15 months, because even if they got pregnant on the wedding night, so it would take 3 months for the milk that was being produced nursing her child to dry up. So therefore, lefish ein hacholof nekar el liachar shlosh chodesh. Even if a woman gets pregnant, so the milk doesn't dry up until a 3 month period of time. It literally uses the lashon over here. Nekar means it's uprooted, and the Mefarshim explained it means that it will be a lesser amount. It doesn't mean that it will be totally unavailable, but it will be a lesser amount, and that it may not be as sustaining, because it won't be as rich because of the changes in the hormones of the mother. Okay. How do we paskin? So Amar Ula says, Halacha kirabi Yehuda. Ula says we paskin like the period of time of Yehuda, which is 18 months, which, as explained by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, was 15 months. And Marukva said, Li hitir Rabbi Chanina, lo se sliacha chamisho sochodesh. And Maisa Shahaya, he said that I was permitted to go and marry a woman after 15 months of the start from her nursing. Her husband passed away, and that was 15 months after she started nursing, and therefore the baby's 15 months old, I was allowed to go marry. So Maisa Shahaya is always a very strong way to show that we really paskin this way. Another Maisa Shahaya, Arisoi de Abaye. Abaye is Oris, the one who was sharecropping his fields. Also the Kaiman de Abaye went to Abaye and asked him the following Shaila. Omale, he said to him, Mahu le Ores b'chamisho sochodesh. Can I go and do Erisin at the 15-month period of time? The woman's been nursing for a 15-month period of time. Now, if I do our Erisin, so then, obviously, we're not going to get pregnant, and it shouldn't be a problem at all. So Abaye responds in the affirmative that, yes, this is not a problem for several reasons. He says, number one, Amalei Chada, number one, the Rabbi Yehuda, Aloch Yehuda. Then we have a Machlokes with Rabbi Yehuda. The more an error in Erevin tells us that we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir. Again, I pointed out the other day, the Rabbi Meir was so smart, he was really head and shoulders above everybody else, that he could argue both sides of every argument, and therefore Chum didn't understand Rabbi Meir many times, and therefore we always paskin against Rabbi Meir when it comes to usually Rabbi Meir against one of his chaverim. When we have Stam Mishnah like Rabbi Meir, so then there's no arguments, and then we follow Rabbi Meir. He's often the Stam Mishnah. He's often the Tanakama. He's often the Stam Mishnah. And in addition, as we'll see, we always paskin like Rabbi Meir when he makes Xera. If Rabbi Meir says something is a sakana, something is a xera, that we better do this, so even though we don't understand them, you don't play any games, and you always follow Rabbi Meir's xeras. In any event, he said, the reason why we paskin over here, that you can get married after 15 months, is because, as Rabbi Shimon Gamliel had modified, we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir, and therefore it's 15 months instead of 21 months, right? 18 months versus 24 months, and you add on the 3 months extra because the milk won't get diminished in the first 3 months, even if she was to be pregnant again. That's number one. We pass it like Rabbi Yehuda over Rabbi Meir. And number two, for Ode, we pass it like Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel, Halacha Beis Hillel. So both of these machlokas that are parallel, we pass it like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and possibly of Beis Hillel, that it would be 18 months, which, as we said, was 15 months. And furthermore, he said, V'omar Ula, halacha Rabbi Yehuda. Ula also said the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda in this situation. And in addition, we have the Omer Marukva. So Lihitir Rabbi Chanina loses the Achach Chimisha Asuchodesh. We have a Ma'aser Shahaya that allowed him to get married, and certainly Kol Shekain. And Abaye now adds on his own. Certainly, when you're dealing over here, the At Liaris, you just want to do Erisin, and there's zero chance that you'll dry up the milk. So none of this really would apply. So the whole thing is Exera Erisin Otu Nisuin. So certainly, in this situation, you can go and get married. He told his Oris to this woman after 15 months that she had started nursing. However, Abaye then went to his Rebbe. He also accompanied the Rebbe Yosef, and he asked his Rebbe, Rebbe Yosef, did I do the right thing? So Rebbe Yosef told him, no, you didn't do the right thing, because Rabbi Shmuel, the Amr Tavayu, here, there's another statement that you forgot about, and that was what Rabbi Shmuel had said. And Rabbi Shmuel said, Tzrichin lahamtin esrin v'arbo chodesh. You have to wait a full 24-month period of time, and that 24-month is calculated, chutz miyom shenol lebo, doesn't include the day that the baby is born. So the 24-month starts from day 2 of the baby's life, and the chutz miyom shenisarso bo, and it doesn't include the day that you're going to even do the erisin, never mind the nisuin. So there's a full 24-month period of time that you have to wait, one day starting after the baby was born, and the erisin, even the erisin, can't be until the full 24 months have gone by. So, therefore, Rav Yossi told him, Abaye, you're paskin incorrectly in this situation. So, Rohat Basrei Tlosa Parsi. So, Abaye quickly ran after his Oris to go and correct the Psak. Now, a Parsi is 4 mil. So, he ran after him for 3 Parsi, which would be 12 mil, the equivalent of 12 kilometers. And others say that the Amri Law Parsi Bechola. Others say that he ran after him in the sand, 1 Parsi, which is 4 mil, which is a very difficult thing to do. Below Adrachai. But he didn't reach him, and unfortunately, he told the Aris that he could get married, and he wasn't able to retract that psak. So Abaye said, "Oi, woe is to me! Hay milso the Amar Rabbanan, that which the Chazal said, apilu be'asa be'kuscha, that even an egg which comes from a chicken and putting it in kutach ababli, we've mentioned many times, is a dish which is a spoiled type of a milk, but it's milchiks. So the basic question over here is, can you have an egg of a chicken in milch?" Milchiks. In other words, is an egg parva or is an egg fleishich? So he said, even such a simple thing that everybody knows that an egg is considered parva, and you're allowed to dip it into a milchik dip, so lo lishrei inish b'mokom rabbi. He shouldn't paskin that if his rebbe is around. He should go and ask his rebbe the shaila. And this, as Tosfos points out, is even if the rebbe is given him permission to paskin, because in this situation, he has the halachic right to paskin. So it says, lo mishum demechsei kapri afrikusa, not that you're doing something that is like you're making yourself hefker from the rebbe, like you're showing disrespect to the rebbe by passing in his presence. No, even if the Rebbe were to give you permission to do so, one shouldn't do so. El mishum de lo mistaya mil sulameimra, because you may end up passing wrong. And if your Rebbe was there, you should have asked the Rebbe first. Do I know have a gemir nalei lahad Rav Shmuel? Because I knew that statement that Rav Yosef had taught me about Rav Shmuel, but I'd forgotten it because afilu hachi lo mistaya li mil sulameimra, and I didn't have the zchus to remember it. And I should have remembered that we follow Rav Meir by his gzeros. This was a gzera that Rav Meir instituted, and therefore we should have followed Rav Meir in this situation that we have to wait the full 24-month period of time. And I forgot that, and that's because I should have went to ask my Rebbe, even a simple thing like putting, saying that you're allowed to consider an egg to be parva and dip it into milk, which everybody knows, I should have asked my Rebbe. Taptosus points out that every Amma Aretz knows that an egg is parva, and it's impossible to think that you couldn't go tell somebody, yes, the egg is parva, and you can dip it into a milchik dip. So he says, we're dealing over here, ela b'shoche tarnagolus, you're dealing over here with a chicken that was shechted, u'matzo b'beitzim gemuros, and you find fully formed eggs inside of it. And that is not considered chicken, that is considered egg, even though you shechted the chicken, and if you find not formed eggs inside the chicken, and they're considered fleishels, like chicken. So in this situation, we're talking here about a fully formed egg, which is considered halachically as an egg, and not as chicken, even though you find it inside a shechted chicken, to make the question a little bit more probable, because otherwise nobody could ever do anything in terms of halacha in front of their rabbi. Okay. Again, this is a complicated subject as to when a person is allowed to pass in front of the Rebbe. Bottom line is, if the Rebbe gives you reshus, you're allowed to. But what Abaye was saying is that if your Rebbe's around, always ask your Rebbe questions to make sure that you're passing correctly. Mark continues, says, Tana Rabbanon, we learn the following b'raisa, Nosno b'no l'meinekis. If a woman whose husband Nebuch passed away, and she wants to get married. So she says, listen, the whole reason of the Gzeria is that I won't have enough milk, but I'm not nursing the baby. She gives over the baby to Amenekis. There's a wet nurse that's going to be caring for this child. So even if she were to get pregnant with her new husband, it won't impact the baby because she's not the one that's nursing the baby. Or in another situation, Ogamalto, or she weaned the child. She no longer is nursing him. Today, most women don't nurse for a 24-month period of time. And even in the times of the Gemara, there must have been some women that stopped nursing after 6 months, after 8 months, after 10 months, 12 months, whatever. And she says, I'm not nursing. So there's zero risk over here that if I get pregnant with my new husband, that it's going to impact the baby. We're feeding the baby solids already. The baby is not nursing. So there's zero risk. Or Nebuch, oh mace, the baby died. So obviously there's no risk to the baby if the woman were to get married and she'd get pregnant again. Nebuch, the baby's dead. So in all of these situations, muteres linosi miyad. So the Braisa states that she's allowed to get married immediately in this situation because after all of the reasons that we brought down don't apply because either the woman has given the baby over to a wet nurse, or she's weaned the baby, or Nebuch, the baby's not around, the baby is dead. So the Braisa says, in this situation, the reason behind the gzera of waiting the 24 months doesn't apply, and she's allowed to go get married earlier. Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yeshua, Sovru Lemevat, Uvdo, Kihomas Nisa. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yeshua, wanted to go and put this into a halacha lemaisa situation. Such a halacha came to them, a woman who had hired a wet nurse to go and take care of her baby. So the wet nurse was nursing the baby, so there was zero risk for the mother if she were to get married. So this woman wanted Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yeshua to go and allow her to go and get married now, and they were willing to do so. However, Amro Luhu, Hai Sapta, there was an older lady. When we have how Saba, it means an older man, it means Elio. Here I don't know who it means other than it was a normal older lady. So there was an older lady that was there, and she said, no, Bididi Havi Uvda, this exact mice occurred to me. I was Nebuch, a young widow, and I was nursing my baby, and I had given over the baby to a wet nurse, and I wanted to get married, and I asked Rav Nachman this question, V'asali Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman did not allow me to get married until the full 24-month period of time was over. So Rav says, really, Ini? Or Rav Nachman, Sharulhu Lebe Reish Kalusa. But wait a second, how can you tell me that Rav Nachman insisted on the 24 months? We know that Rav Nachman had allowed the women who lived in the house of the Reish Kalusa to go and get married if they had hired a wet nurse, so why wouldn't Rav Nachman say that this woman as well could have gone and hired a wet nurse and be allowed to be married before the 24-month period of time? So Gemara says, no, Rav Nachman knew that the women in the house of the Reish Kalusa would absolutely have the money to go and pay for the wet nurse, and they wouldn't have to worry that the baby would not be fed properly. Shiny Bay Reish Kalusa, because the Reish Kalusa house was a rich house, a wealthy house, the low Hadra Bay. As Rashi says, there was zero chance that the baby, who was no longer being nursed by the mother, was now being nursed by a wet nurse, would not end up continuing that. Minika Sheposko Lahonik Bineyem Yira Lachzerba. In a situation, we have to be concerned that sometimes a mother who stops nursing a baby and hires a wet nurse, that maybe the wet nurse will say, no, nothing to do, I want more money, or else I'm not nursing. And then the mother will have to go back to nurse the baby. But in the house of the Reish Kalusa, the Fish, the Meyodam, these are tough people, and they're wealthy people. I will be in Sheachrini, but in anybody else's house, maybe Dilma Hadra Behamanika, the woman who's nursing the wet nurse, says, listen, I ain't doing it, I'm sorry. The Chos Rabbein, Eitzalaim, Umistakin, and the child's going to have to go back to the mother to nurse, and now the mother's married. And maybe she's pregnant and there won't be enough food for the baby. So Rav Nachman said it depends. If you're a guarantee over here that there's nobody that's going to go and retract, the wet nurses are going to be scared of the house of Reish Kalusa, or there's definitely not going to be money in the house of Reish Kalusa, and they'll be able to guarantee that the baby will continue to be nursed by the wet nurse, so then the women of the Reish Kalusa have not been allowed. But this elderly woman had said, I wasn't from the Reish Kalusa's house, and I had hired a wet nurse, and Rav Nachman said, there's no guarantee that wet nurse will stay, and therefore, if the wet nurse leaves, you're going to have to go back and nurse the baby, so therefore, I can't let you get married until 24 months have passed. So, the bottom line is, Rav Nachman said, you can't follow this braisa that said, if a woman hires a wet nurse, she's allowed to get married earlier. So, Amalu Rav Papi. Rav Papi said, Vatun lotis beruah. There was another braisa here. Aren't you concerned about the following braisa? You were willing to allow the woman to go and get married based upon this first braisa, but what about the following braisa? Mehod Tanya, we learned in the following braisa, Hari Shaisa Redufa Lelet Lebe Savia. If a woman who Nebuch is going to lose her husband, so when her husband passed away, she was a regular by her father's house. In other words, the marriage wasn't so strong, unfortunately, and she was a regular by her father's house. So for whatever the reason, she was by her father's house, and she hadn't lived with her husband for many weeks, many months. She was in another place when her husband had died, so there's no chance that she could be pregnant. Oh, Shohoyah lo kas beis bala, or nebuch, she and her husband didn't have shalom bayis, there was a fight going on, and she wasn't living with her husband, or there was zero chance that they had relations with her husband before the husband died. Or Shohoyah bala chovesh beis asurim, nebuch, the husband was in the jail someplace, the persecution from the government, they thrown him in jail. He was sitting in the czar's dungeon. He was sitting in the Spanish Inquisition. He was sitting someplace in a jail, and there was no way she had relations with her husband. Or Shohoyah bala din asiyam, the husband was off on a business trip. He passed away when he was overseas. Oh, Shohoyah bala zokein ochola, or her husband was very elderly and couldn't have children with her. Or her husband was sick and couldn't have children with her. He was in the ICU. Oh, Shohoyah sa akara, or she herself was an akara. She couldn't have children. Uzkeno, or she was postmenopausal. Oh, islandess, or she was somebody who had never been able to have the capacity to have children. Oktano, or she was too young to have children. And in all of these situations, her husband died. So, or we have Vahamapeles, achamisas bala. She was pregnant. And her husband Nebuch passed away while she was pregnant, and then she miscarried. So obviously, she couldn't have any more children by her husband. Her husband was dead. V'she'ein aruya leilin, or a woman who is, for whatever the reason, unable to have children. As Rashi says, she nekar beis heroin shlo. She had fibroids, and they did hysterectomy on her. So she doesn't have a womb. In all of these situations where one could argue that the din of havchana doesn't apply, remember we had havchana in Yevamos many times, and we had it in our Masechta as well, that a person has to wait a 3-month period of time after the first husband passes away, because we want to make sure that we know who the father of the child is, because let's say she were to get married right away, so we wouldn't know if a child born 7 months later is a 9-month child from the first husband or a 7-month child from the second husband. So therefore, she has to wait a 3-month period of time. Now, we have to do this. All of these women are impossible for them to have been pregnant from the first husband. And nevertheless, the Braisa said, lo plug, we don't make any differentiation between she could be pregnant from the first husband or not. Kulon tzrichos lahamtin shlosha chadoshim divrei Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, you got to wait the 3-month period of time. That's what this Braisa tells us. Even when there is zero chance that she's pregnant from her first husband, you still have to wait the entire 3-month period of time. Rav Yossi Matiliaris Vilinos Miyad. As opposed to Rav Yossi, he said, no, she can get first stage of marriage and even go to the second stage of marriage immediately, because there's zero chance that the first husband is having a baby with her, because, as we said, through every one of these situations, it's physically impossible for her to have a baby from the first husband. Nevertheless, Rav Meir said, you have to be concerned. And the Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Shmuel, Rav Nachman said the name of Shmuel, Halacha to Rav Meir, Big Zero Sof. As I pointed out previously, when we have a Gzeir for Rav Meir, we're concerned over here. Rav Meir says, you got to be concerned, so then you got to be concerned. When Rav Meir makes a gzera, as Rashi points out, b'chol mokum shu machmir midrabanan, whenever he's more machmir than the rabbanon, we go and paskin like Rav Meir when it comes to a gzera. And he says, therefore, afal gav de'ein kan lahavchin bein zaro shorishon l'shol sheni, there's zero chance that the first husband had gotten her pregnant. D'alo mi abra, because, for example, she can't get pregnant. Lo plug rabbanon b'takonis gzeru shalahem. The rabbis don't make differentiations. When they make a gzera, it's across the board. And therefore, Rameir made a gzera over here and says you have to wait for the din of havchana. So this is true whether she could or she could not be pregnant. And therefore, Rapapi said to Papa and Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, how could you rely upon the first price that it says you don't have to go and wait the 24-month period of time or the 18-month period of time, and she can get married if she hired a wet nurse? Why aren't you concerned about this brisa that says that Rav Meir says you go there no matter what? And therefore, Amri Lei. So Rav Papa and Rav Huna, Brother Yeshua, said to Rav Papi, we didn't know this brisa. Lava daiten. And therefore, thank you for telling it to us, and we are going to not allow this woman to get married even though she hired a wet nurse. How do we paskin? So the Gemara says, V'hilchasa. The bottom line, halacha l'maaseh, the Gemara says is, meis, if nebuch, the child died, so there's zero chance, therefore, that this child is going to be hurt in any way by the woman getting married to somebody else, because nebuch, the child is dead. So in that situation, mutter, the woman is allowed to go get married. However, gemaltu, if she just hired a wet nurse, or she weaned the child, so then, usher, that we don't allow her to go and get married, because you might need to go back and re-nurse the child in both of these situations, either because the wet nurse went and quit on you, or that you thought you weaned the child, but the child wasn't eating the solids, and therefore you have to go back and nurse the child. As Rashi says, Shigmaloso machma shirots linosi. Rashi says here another reason is that we have to be concerned that the reason why she weaned the child was because she already had her eyes on a certain man, and she knew she wouldn't be able to marry the man if she was still nursing the child. So she prematurely stops nursing the child, and it's not going to be good for the child, and therefore if she's going to wean the child or hire a wet nurse, we don't allow her to go and do so because of this ulterior motive that she may have. Marba Ravashi Omar Afilu Meis Nami Osir. He goes a step further. He says, even if the child died, we have to be concerned that she in some way might have caused the child's death. Dilma Kotlele, the Oslo Minsva. She had her eyes on another man, and she knows she's not allowed to get married to this other man if she has a child, and she, Rachmana Litzlan, may do something to kill her baby, and therefore we don't allow her to go get married, even if the baby died, because of this somewhat unlikely concern that the mother was in some way involved. The Havi Udo V'chanakte, and we have such a Maisa Shahaya that once occurred, that a woman was so desirous of getting married, and this child prevented her from getting married, so she actually went and choked the child, Rachmana Litzlan, and therefore Marba Ravashi says, in all three of the situations, not only where she hired a wet nurse or she stopped the child, where you could really argue that maybe she had her eyes on somebody else, Machem Shirosu Linose, but even in the case where the child died, we have that slight concern that maybe she would some way go and cause her child's death in order to allow her to get married. However, Gemara says, that's crazy, Elohi. We don't concern ourselves with that. That case that had happened, we just brought down Havi Uvdu V'chanakte, Hayishota Havoy, that woman Nebuch was a psychiatric case. The woman Nebuch was a shota, she was crazy. The law of the Noshi, the Chonkun B'nayu, in normal circumstances, 99.999% of the time, we don't have to have the concern that a woman would, Rahman al-Islam, go and choke her own baby in order to get married. And therefore, that was an unusual case where the woman was crazy. But in general, we don't have to be concerned that a mace mother, if the child never passed away, so we don't say the mother had anything to do with it. She had her eyes on somebody else and she caused the child to die, Rahman al-Islam. And therefore, if the child never does die, she's allowed to go get married at an earlier point in time. As it continues, Tana Rabbanon, Harei Shinasnu Lo Bein Lahanik, if a woman is given a child to nurse, she's a wet nurse, Harei Zolo Tonik Imo, she's not allowed to go and nurse her own child, she's hired to go nurse this other child, so she can't go and nurse her own child at the same time. Lo Binoa, Lo Ben Chaverta, not only her own child, or not even somebody else's child, she can't be hired to nurse two children at the same time. Pasco came up, if the mother gave her, the mother of the child gave her money to go and nurse the child, but she didn't give her a lot of money for food. She paid her for doing the job, but she only gave her a small amount of money, posko kima, for food. Nevertheless, ocheles harbe, she has an obligation to go eat enough so she'll be able to nurse the child enough. So even though she didn't get a lot of money for food, but since she's being paid overall, so she has to take from her profit, so to say, the money that she's being paid to nurse the child and go and eat enough extra food so that the baby shouldn't be missing milk in any way, shape, or form. That's how Rashi explains this. They only said that she's going to have a certain amount of money for food, a small amount of money, so then ocheles harbe, she has to go pay mishalot from her own pocket. So she'll have enough milk and shouldn't chas v'shalom go and hurt this child. So the Gemara says, Lo tochal imo devar ma'orim l'cholav. The Brisa continues and says, she also has to be very careful what she eats. She's not allowed to go and eat things that could chas v'shalom hurt the child. So now that's the Brisa. The more questions, the first part of the Brisa. Hashta b'no amislo. So ben chaverta mibay. If she's not even allowed to go and nurse her own child along with the one that she's hired to nurse, so certainly she can't go and nurse another child in addition to the one that she's being asked to nurse. If she can't even do it for her own child, so she certainly can't do it for somebody else. Why do you have to tell me that? So one says, no, I might have thought, ma'u detema, I might have said, b'no'ahu dechayesi lovi. Her own child, she will have mercy on. And if there isn't enough milk for both children, so she'll give her own child a little bit more and not give the child who she's being paid to nurse enough milk. So her own child, we don't allow her to go and do. However, I would have said, Abba ben Chaverta, if she takes upon the responsibility for the child that she's hired for, as well as a friend's child, so ilav, the Havel or Mosa, if she doesn't have enough milk, she won't give it to the friend's child. She knows she'll go first and give it to the child that she's contracted for. Her own child, she might give ahead of the one that she's contracted for. But if she's doing somebody else a favor, so she'll first take care of the one that she's contracted for, and then she would only give the other child. Therefore, I might have thought that for another child, she would be allowed. Kumashalo, she's not. Now we said, Pasko Kimo, we said in the Brisa that she's only given a small amount of food. Nevertheless, Ocheles Harbe, she has to go and pay her own money out of her own pocket to make sure she has enough food to go and make sure she has enough milk. So the Gemara says, who pays for this? Mehecha. Gemara says, Amar Sheshes, Mishalot, from her own pocket, because she's getting paid to go and nurse this child, plus the minimal amount of food allowance that they gave her. So she has to go take out from her pocket for the amount that she's getting paid, and not just say, well, you only gave me a food allowance for this amount, so I'm only going to eat this amount. No, she has to take out of her own pocket and eat more to make sure that she has an adequate supply of milk. Then she said, Lo tochal imo devarim haroim. She's not allowed to go and eat things which are going to be dangerous for the child. Devarim haroim. What are these? My Nina. What are examples of devarim haroim? Some of Kahana. Kigon, kishus. Kishus are hops, like barley hops. The choses. Choses is a certain type of grain. Rashi says, asovim shel zera tfua, a certain type of wheat or grain, grass. Then we have the dogim kitanim. You have these small little fish, the adama, or dirt. So all of these things are bad for the baby. Abai amar, avilu kora, even to have something like kora, which is usually translated as squash, the chavusha, which is translated as quince, these things are also bad for the baby somehow. Rapapa amar, Rapapa says, now the gear that we have is kra, which is the same exact thing that Abai said. Therefore, some correct the gear, so we had to say kura, that this is talking about something like a palm shoots. Rashi says for kura, Rach Godel Bedekel. Rashi had the gear Sakura over here, and he says this is like the soft part that grows around a palm tree, Mashinosef Alaana Pishonazu, the new stuff that grows every year. And Kufra, these are, Rashi says, Tamarim Bekatnusan. These are the immature dates when they're young. And Ravashi Amar, Afilu Kamka Vaharsana. This kamcha is something known as the kutach. Rashi explains this is kutach ababli. This is the spoiled milchik dip. And harsina, Rashi explains, is dogim mitugogim bekemach vitzir v'shumon shalem, the fish that are fried in flour and in their own juices and fats. Now, why this bad? The Gemara says minayu pas bechava, minayu och bechava. Some of them cause the milk to stop being produced, and some of them cause the milk to be bad. Och bechava, it turns it into something that isn't healthy. More continues to tell us some other things that are dangerous for the baby. So, the mishamsha beirichaya, if a woman has relations near a beirichaya, a mill where they grind things, havelo bnei nichve, that's going to somehow lead her children to be bnei nichve. Bnei nichve means that they have something that they, vlados shemisavrosham nofle micholi, a certain illness that they go and fall from, meaning something like epilepsy. The Misham Shal Ara, if a woman has relations while she's on the ground, not in a bed, so Habule B'nei Shmute, she's going to have babies that have Shmute, Rashi says, Aruche Tzavar V'humum, they'll have very long necks, and that's some sort of a blemish. The Drocha Al Ramah D'chamra, if a woman has relations while she's on Ramah D'chamra, which would literally mean the excrement of a donkey, others have the Girsa, you can see in the Mesoras HaShas Os Chof, some of the Girsa, Doma, the blood, of a donkey. In any event, others have a girsa, dudrocha adoma dechamra, the dam of the chamor. In any event, the person will have, the woman has such relations, will have habulo b'nei girdoni. She'll have children that will not have hair. Pirish odom shenimrat sa'aros rosho obal grav. They'll have children that don't have the hair, or Rashi gives a second shot, bal grav, which means some sort of a skin lesion. If the woman eat ochlo chardla, again talking here while the women are pregnant, so habu le b'nei zal ziloni, she'll have children that are rav sonin, they'll be gluttons. The ochlo takli, if a woman eats cress while she's pregnant, habu le b'nei dulfoni, she'll have children that are eneim zolfos, Rashi says, mayim tomi, they're constantly tearing in their eyes. The ochlo monine, if a woman eats small fish, Rashi says, "Hurgul alecho dogim ktanim." She's used to eating these small fish. So then, havelo b'nei mitzitze ena. She'll have children that have enav parchos v'nos tomei. She'll have children have darting eyes. Her eyes are constantly moving about. The ochlo gagushta. If a woman eats dirt, certain type of clay, so havelo b'nei mechoari. She'll have very, very ugly children. The shas yeshichro. If a woman drinks beer during pregnancy, also not good. Havelo b'nei ukme. She's going to have darker children. Now, the Mepharshim bring down over here, and I saw this in the Chasnei Shas, it means that they'll be dark in their mood. They'll have melancholy. They'll be depressed. And that's why this isn't good. But the Ochlo Bisra Vishas Yechaima, but if a woman has good meat and she has good wine, Havalo B'nei, and we turn to Samach Aleph, Omer Aleph, Barye, she'll have children that are, Rashi says, Berea, very healthy. So that was good for the children. Doch Lebei, if a woman eats a lot of eggs while she's pregnant, Havalo B'nei Einoni, she will have children that have a Nehem Gedolos, Rashi says, large eyes. Doch Lekavri, if a woman eats fish, Havalo B'nei Chinoni, then she will have children who are very, very nice. They'll have lots of Chain, Bali Chain, Rashi says. Doch Lekarpasa, if a woman eats Karpas, so Havalo B'nei Ziv Soni, she will have children that are shining. If she eats the ochlo kuzbarta, that's coriander. So the children that she will have, havul ebnei bisrani, she'll have children that are bisrani, that are plump, which is a good thing. And the ochlo esrog, if a woman eats an esrog, so havul ebnei richani, then she'll have children that have a very nice odor about them. They'll have a very pleasant smell. And the Chas de Asha says, this is the source of the custom that pregnant women, that they eat the esrog on the day of Hoshana Rabbah after the mitzvah is performed. So it's brought down there that they say that the women shouldn't be like Chava. Chava ate from the esrog, which was one of the opinions of what the Eitz Hadas was, before its time. And here, these women waited until the end of Sukkos, when the esrog is now permissible to be eaten. And therefore they say, don't make me have a difficult pregnancy. That's why the minhag is brought down in the Matthew Friday, that pregnant women will eat the esrog on the last day of Sukkos, on after Hoshana Rabbah in the morning, after their husbands have done the mitzvah of Lulav and Esrog. Finally, the Gemara concludes this somewhat esoteric Gemara with the following. Brate, the Shvar Malka, the daughter of Shvar Malka, so her mother, Ochla Ba, and they would bring in front of her father in front of all the other fragrant spices that they had, because she smelled so good, because the mother of this child ate this esrog while she was pregnant, and the child smelled very, very well. Okay. Mark continues, I'm Rav Huna. Rav Huna said that we were once in the shir with Rav Huna Bar Chinina, and he tested us with the following question. Badak lon Rav Huna Bar Chinina with the following shaila. He omeres lohonik. The woman says, I would like to nurse. Vu omer lo shlo yohonik. And the father says, no, I don't want my wife to go nurse. So shomim lo, we listen to her, because tsara didohu. If a woman doesn't nurse, it can be very painful. She can get a mastitis, she can get all sorts of swelling. And therefore, even though the father, the husband, says, I do not wish my wife should go and nurse, but the wife says, I wish to nurse, so we listen to her. Who omer lohonik? But if the husband says, I want her to nurse, vi omer shalolonik, and she says, I don't feel like nursing, now, what's the din over there? So he said, kol hecha delav urcha, where certainly it is not her family's minhag to go and nurse the baby. In other words, she comes from a very wealthy family, and the children in that family don't have the custom of nursing. They hire a wet nurse. So then in that situation, shomim la. So then she has the right to say, my family doesn't nurse. She doesn't go down in her status because she married a husband whose family did nurse. So certainly, if her family's custom was they hire a wet nurse, so then the husband has to go hire a wet nurse for her. However, he archa, but it was her custom in her family that they didn't have a lot of wealth, and they would have to go nurse the children themselves. But in his family, who lav orche, his family was a rich family, and they didn't normally nurse, and they hired a wet nurse. So does he have the right to say to his wife, listen, your family goes and nurses, so you go nurse, and I'll save myself the money for hiring a wet nurse. My, what's the halacha? Do we say, basar didei azlinan? Do we follow his family's custom, and he would have to go hire a wet nurse for her, or Basar di da azlin, or do we follow her family's minhagim, and their family wasn't wealthy, and they would always nurse themselves, so therefore he could say to her, you got to go nurse yourself. So that was the question that Rav Huna Bar Chinina asked the people in the shir, and Rav Huna said, Upashtina lemiha, and we ourselves figure out the answer to this question from our Rebbe, Rav Huna Bar Chinina, from the following, where it says in this braisa, O lo imo, the Eino Yeredesimo, that the wife always goes up in social status to his status, but if his status is lower, then she stays at her higher status. In other words, she has the best of both worlds. If his status is higher, she follows his status. If her status is higher, she retains her status. In other words, in this situation, even though her family would nurse, but she now goes up in social status, and she doesn't have to nurse, she can demand that her husband hire a wet nurse for her, because that's the custom in his family. Amar Ravuna, Ravuna said, Mikra, what's the source for this din that we figured out? So the Gemara says, the Pasuk tells us, Vihi Be'ulas Baal. A married woman is referred to as a Be'ulas Baal. Why is that? Baliyaso Shobal, Velo Biridaso Shobal. In other words, she is able to be considered his wife when it's good for her to be considered his wife, but not when it's bad for her to be considered his wife. So that's the source. Rabbi Lozer Amar, Rabbi Lozer says, Mihach, this is the source. Ki hi haisa em kol chai. Referred to Chava, she's known as the em kol chai. In other words, when she's given over to marriage, so it's always for her improvement. So she now goes up with her husband, but not to go down with her husband if her husband's on the lowest social standing. So in the first situation, we have the pasuk, that was by Avimelech. When he took Rivka, so he was shocked. He found that she was Bulas Baal. And the second case, we have with Chava and Kochai, both of them are the source that the woman goes up with her husband's status and doesn't go down with her husband's status. Okay, now we go to quote the next part of the Mishnah. If she brings into the marriage one servant, says she doesn't have to do certain things. But the other thing she has to do. But why? The Tamar law, like, why doesn't she say to her husband, Isaloch Itza, I brought in somebody. So if I'm able to do all those seven things, so I brought in somebody. She should be able to do all those seven things. How come I have to do some of them? So what's her husband's response? Mishum Damallah. Her husband will say to her, listen, ha tarcha lididi ulidida. So yeah, she's going to go work for me, and she's going to go work for herself. So yes, with two people, the husband can ask the wife, you do all seven things for both of us. So this maidservant that you bring in, she's going to do it for me, and she's going to do it for herself. But kamei didoch man tarch. But who's going to do it for you? So therefore, you still have to do some of the work. If she brings in two, the Mishnah says, then she has to do less and less. If she brings in two, she brings in three, she brings in four, she has to do less and less. So the Gemara says, Hashara avda. But even if she has two, she still has to do some things. So why doesn't she say to him, Tamalai, Ilis loch itso achriti. Here, now I brought in somebody else. So now your argument that two people can manage the husband and the wife alone, but when you bring in a third person, now you have three people to go work for. So now I brought in a fourth person. So therefore, one of the women, the tarchli the deal, one of the women will work for both me and for herself, the chadol lididah lididah, and one will work for you and for herself. So now we seem to be covered on all bases. Why should I have to do anything? So it says, Mishum Darla, because the husband can still stay to his wife. What about any guests that we have? Kame orche uparche man tarach. We're going to have lots of guests over here, come short term and long term. Rashi explains the orchim or orchim hamishtoim Shabbos or Chodesh. They're coming for a period of time of a week or a month, and parche are over the darchim. Those people that are passerbys in the road, and they come for even a shorter period of time. This is malkum sheish bnei beis rabim nogim lesareach over there. So people will stop by just for the night. So who's going to take care of all of those? That's why you still have to do some work. No, if she brings in three, the Mishnah says shalosh enu matzah samita. She doesn't have to make the bed. So Gemara says again, hashar avda. But it seems that she still has to do some things. Why can't she say now I got plenty of people? The first one takes care of herself and you. The second one takes care of herself and me. And the third one will take care of the guests. The tamale, she said to him, ilus loch achriti l'orchi parchi. I brought in somebody for the guests. So again, the husband can respond to him. Mishum d'amalah, nafish b'nei beisa, nafish orchi parchi. The more people you have in the house, the more people you're going to have. So therefore, when people hear that I have these three maidservants, so more guests are going to come, and we're going to need additional help. So Gemara says, so then, why did you say if she brings in four, according to the Tanakhama of a Mishnah, she can sit in her couch and not do anything? So you should say, this continues to expand and expand. So Gemara says, no. Once you have arba, once you have four, kivon dinefishi luhu, there's so many of them, mesayin and adadi, the four of them can carry out all the work that's needed to be done. Rav Katina says, Amar Rihana. Rihana says, Vitem Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Others say it was Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni. Lo hichnitza lo mamish. She doesn't even have to actually bring in all of these servants. Elo kivon shiru'uy lachnas. She's wealthy enough, or she has enough of an adunya, that she could in fact pay for this. So even if she doesn't bring them in, she doesn't have to do all this work. Achlo pishalo chnitza, even though she doesn't actually bring in the maid servants. We learn further in the Brayis of Tana, Echot shechniso lo, the Echot shetzimtzim lo mishalo. Whether she brings them in because she's wealthy, or she goes and saves her money, and goes and is able to supply such a woman, these dinim apply. She doesn't have to go do the work, regardless of how she brings in these people, if it's part of her nadunya, she's wealthy, or if she goes and saves her money, and then goes and buys herself a maidservant, so then she doesn't have to go and do this work. Tosus points out, this is even if she saved the money from what he gave her. So she's given an allowance by him, and she doesn't use the allowance. She's very frugal, and she saves up money, and she goes and purchases a maidservant to do this, so then that is acceptable as well. Tosus has another opinion there, but we'll go right. And we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Arba Yoshevis Bekatedra. If she brings in four servants, then she gets to sit nice and easy over here in her couch, in her chair, and doesn't have to do any work. So Rav Yitzchak bar Chananya, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Yitzchak bar Chananya is the name of Rav Huna. Afal pi she'amar Yosheves b'katedra. Even though we said she's allowed to go and sit pretty over here and sit in her couch in her chair and never had to do any work. Nevertheless, she still does certain things for her husband. Apple mozeges, low coast, she should pour him a cup of wine. They would go and dilute their wine. So she would go dilute it for him and pour him a cup of wine. Matzas lo samita, and she should go and still make his bed in front of him. Umarchetzes lo panav yodarad, when she should wash his hands, his face, and his legs, which were things that were all done for chiba. They were going to help in the love, in the relationship between the husband and the wife. So these types of things, even though she technically has servants that could do all of these things, nevertheless, she should go do them herself in order to go and cause a love between the husband and the wife. Rashi points out all of these things are not difficult. These are things that are dovrish eno toreach, umishum demili dechiba ninu, but they're to cause love between the husband and the wife, kidei shetischaviv olav, that she should become dear to him, velo domi lamatzos. And it's different than the putting out the linens that we were talking about before, for example. And as Rashi continues, he says this is an Eitzah Tova that the rabbi said over here, Lahan Nigzos Bisrael, that this should be the custom in Klai Yisrael to foster love between husbands and wives. Gemara continues, says, Rav Yitzchak bar Chananya, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Yitzchak bar Chananya said another thing in the name of Rav Huna. Kom lachos shahayisha osilavala. Anything that a woman does for her husband, nida osilavala. A woman who's in nida is allowed to do for her husband. With these exceptions, will be a chutz mizigas hakos, the hatzolah samita, rachotz pone yodav raglu, which can create chiba and could lead Rachman Lusan to doing something inappropriate when she's in nida, and therefore those she shouldn't do. But so samita, in regard to that which we said, that she can go make the bed for him, so Amar Rava, Rava qualifies it, he says, lo amorin el b'fonim, that's only, as I mentioned a minute ago, when she's in front of him. Abo shalom b'fonim les l'bat, but if she's making the beds when he's not there, so that's allowed, that's not in and of itself something that's going to lead to an endearment between them and lead Rahman al-Islam to doing something inappropriate when she's in Nida, but if she does it in front of him, that could lead one thing to the next. Then we said it was Zika Sakos, that which she goes and pours the wine for her husband, the drink for her husband. So Shmuel Mechalfole Lidvisu Biyoda de Smolo. Shmuel instructed his wife when she would be doing this for him that she should do it with a sheen, or she would do it with a left hand, and this way he would remind himself that they were in Nida and he wouldn't go and Rahman al-Islan end up doing an Aveira. Machlokas among the posts exactly what the sheen was, that she made it with the left hand, that she put it down in front of him with the left hand. In any event, they would make some sort of a sheenery over here. Abai likewise, manchale apuma dekuva. Abai, his wife, he would instruct her to go and put the cup down, not in the normal way. She would put it down on top of some sort of a kuba. A kuba is a jug of some sort. And similarly, Rava, Abai Saja, Rava's wife would go and put the cup down, not on the table, but on some sort of a cushion, on some sort of a pillow. And her papa likewise, I put it, he would tell his wife to put it on Ashar Shifa. She would put it on a chair of some sort, a stool, and not on the table as well. And this way, doing it with a shina would not lead Chas V'Shalom to doing an Aveira. Another statement that Rav Yitzchak made in the name of Huna. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Chananya, Amar Rav Huna, Hakol Mashim B'nei HaShamash, Chutz Mibasav Yayin. That you're allowed to go and not serve the waiter right away when he's serving you. Part of his payment was that he got to eat the meal, so you can wait until the end of the meal to give him everything except basar and yayin. That you have to give him right away. Why is that? Amar Chista, basar shamin v'yayin yashin. We're dealing here with good fatty meat. They felt that the fatty meat was good, and old wine was also very good. So that's what we're dealing with because it would be very difficult for him to restrain himself. Amar Rava, basar shamin kol shana kula yayin yashin b'tkufas tamas. And we're specifically referring over here to meat any time during the year, and the old wine, especially in the hot summer months, so those you can't make the waiter wait. As Rashi points out, these things, shemisavalehem, he's really going to want them when he smells them, and with star is going to cause him a lot of difficulties, a lot of pain. Om Ravanan bar Tachlifa, Ravanan bar Chatila said, Havakon imna kamei de Mashul. I was once in front of Shmuel, but Aisu le tashilo de arde, and they brought him this dish, which he liked very, very much, this mushroom dish, tashilo de arde, vi lav de yod li, and if he hadn't given some of it to me, because he saw I smelled it, istakanti, I would become very sick from desiring this. A Ravashi, similarly, he said, Hava kaimna kamei, the Rav Kana, I was also in front of Rav Kana, of Aisule gargilide, the lifta bechala. They brought him some turnips in vinegar, which is very, very tasty. He allowed the ugly, and if he hadn't given some to me, when I smelled it, it's the kanti, I also would have gotten very sick because of the desire to have this. And Rav Papa Mar, afilu tamarta linunisa, even giving somebody something like a fatty date, if you don't give it to him, it could chas v'shalom cause him tsar. What's the general rule over here? Called the Islay Reich. If something has a big aroma to it, Islay Kiyua, or it has a certain type of sour taste to it, so then this person has a strong desire for it. If you don't give it to him, it can get him sick. Similarly, Abu Bar'i, Uminyon Bar'i, these two children of Ihi, took care of their waiters in a different way. One of them, Chatzofi Mikomino Mino, one of them would give the waiter that served them every single dish he had, he would give the waiter some of it, so in case the waiter had a desire for it, the waiter's needs would be taken care of. The other one only gave him one for the whole thing. Chatzofi Michad Mino would give him one dish that he had, would give him from every single one. So these two were great people. Both Avua and Minyamin were great people. However, Ma'amishto Yelo Biade, the one who gave the food from every single dish that he had, he was Ocha to seeing Elio. The other one was not. Because he wasn't as nice. Similarly, Hanu Tartin Chassidim, the two great people. Who are these great people? Rav Mori and Rav Pinchas Bnei Rav Chista. They were Rav Mori and Rav Pinchas, who both were the sons of Rav Chista. They also had a similar habit. Mar Kodem Sofei and Umar Ma'achar Sofei. One would give the waiter right away each time that each dish was served, and the other one would wait till the end of the meal, and then the waiter could have all of the dishes but at the end of the meal. So again, the one who gave the waiter right away, the Kodem Sofei Elio Mishtoi Ba'day. And the one that delayed it, the Ma'achar Sofei Lo Mishtoi Elio Ba'day. So the one that was very, very nice and took care of the waiter, so he was Ocha to Gilu Elio. He saw Elio, and the other one did not. Mark continues, Ameim, Ramazut, Ravarashi, these three great Amorim, Ameim, Ramazut, and Ravashi, Havu Koyasve, Apisco, Debe, Izgor, Malka. They were once sitting by the opening, the entrance to the palace of King Izgor. Rashi says he was Shem Melech Pras, he was a Persian king. In any event, Cholif, the Ozil, Atrunaga, the Malka, and the waiter of the king came by, and Chazya Ravashi Mazutra, and Ravashi saw that Mazutra, and we turned to Samach Aleph of Beis, he saw that the Chavarapeh, he became very, very pale. In other words, he desired this food because he smelled it. As Rashi says, Ponav Zoafim Shinisabal Michael, he wanted this food very bad, and he became sick from it. So Shokav Yisbasid, so Ravashi stuck his finger in it, and Anach Lebepume, and gave some of it to Mazutra to go and put on his mouth. He didn't actually eat it because it was tray for food, but he was allowed to do this because it would be kuach nefashos to put it on his mouth. So he just tasted it, but he didn't actually swallow it. So anach lebepumi, put it on his mouth. Now, this waiter was very unhappy about this. Omole, Rashi says, this aturniga said to Ravashi, what in the world are you doing? I've seen it to lesuda the malki. You stuck your finger in the king's meal. That's not proper. That's the lo yochal amelech miyate. Now the king can't eat it. So you caused a tremendous loss. So they called the palace guards and Omrule. They said to him, Amayi tevet hochi, what'd you do this for? So Amalu, so Ravashi told them, Man da ovid hochi, the one who took care of making this food, pasul maichol demalki. He's the one that shouldn't be allowed to go work anymore. They said, why? Amule, Amayi, what did you see? So Amalu, Dover Acher Chazoybe. I saw that there was something here that's called Dover Acher. Rashi explains Dover Acher means Basa Shel Chazir Mitzora. Uvalashu Laz Koren Lo Shurshman, which means Sarah. So they had a lesion on it. It was very unhealthy, and it would have been very dangerous for the king to eat this. Vatku, they checked it out, Valosh Kichu, and they didn't find it. So they thought he was making it up. But Shokal Atzbate Anachale, he took the chef's finger and he placed it in a specific place. As Rashi says, Shokal Ravashi Etzbaosi de Kapela, he took the chef's finger and he put it on a specific place, and Amaluhu, Hocha Mi Batkisu. Did you check over here? That's where it is. Batku Ashu. And then they found it, this leprous piece of meat that was over there. Amalu Rabban, the rabbi said to Ravashi, my time was Samachta Nisa. Was it really there? Why did you rely upon this nace that Hashem would do this favor for you because you wanted to give the Mazutra a little bit of this food? Samalu said, Chazai Ruach Tzaraas de Koporcho Ilave. I saw that there was some leprosy over here, that there was Tzaraas over here. Rashi says, De Porcho Ilave on Mazutra. So he knew that if Mazutra's face, but just touching this to his mouth, his face became Tzaraas. There must have been some Tzaraas in this food. That wasn't a nace. Another story. How Romah, the Amar Le Lahai Itza, there once was a Roman who said to a certain woman, Minsvili, I want you to marry me. Amar Le Lo, she said, no, I don't want to marry you. Azil Aisei Rimoni, he brought in front of her pomegranates, Rimonim, and Paul the Ochel Kamwa, and he cut them open and he ate them in front of her, and she desired them. Komaya de Sarila, and as she was salivating for them, it caused her a lot of discomfort that he wouldn't give her any. Balate, and she swallowed his saliva, below Havla ad de Zogla, and he still didn't give it to her, and she was very, very, very uncomfortable. And Rashi says, the zog means nafchu paneh, her face swelled up, the kreisa, and her stomach swelled up, the nasu kisruchas, it became clear like glass. She came to achi and fuchim. That's what happens in this situation of swelling. Finally, lesof, amala, imasina loch, minsvili, I will go and heal you, but will you marry me? And she said, yes. She was at this point so sick, she said, yes, amala, in. So what did he do? Ozel isi rimon, he brought more rimonim, and poli v'ochel kamar, and he ate them in front of her, and amala, and he said to her, Kol Maya Detzailoch, when you're salivating over here, instead of swallowing it, tuf shidoi, spit it out instead of swallowing it. Until finally, Adanaf Kumino Kihutsa Yuruka, until finally it came out from her, something, a green long branch came out from her, Vitzais, and then she got better. And Mistama, she married. Okay, the Mishnah continues and says, Osa Getzemer, but even if she brings in a lot of work, she has to still do a little bit of work with wool. Batzemer, it pepish them low. With wool, yes, but not with linen. So the Masnisa, Mani, who's the author of our Mishnah? Rabbi Yehuda. It must be like the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, because the Tani Rilin Abraisa, in a kofa, lo la'amod lefnei oviv. A husband can't force his wife to stand up in front of his father, lo la'amod lefnei b'no, and not to stand up in front of his son, lo litin tevel lefnei b'hemta, or to give food, straw, in front of his animal. However, but he can't force her to go give straw in front of his cows. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda Omer, he can't also force her to go work with pishton, because by working with the pishton, and she puts it into her mouth to wet it, so it can make her mouth swell up, and it causes her lips to swell as well. As Rashi says, you constantly have to put this in your mouth, and therefore this will cause her to get sick, and therefore he can't force her to do this. This is only talking about the Roman flax where this is a problem. Then we quote the Mishnah where it said, Rabbi Lezer Omer, she shouldn't lie idle, she has to go and do some work, because it could lead to immorality, or it can lead to craziness, as the next Tana said. Amar Rav Malkio, Amar Rav Adabar Ava, Halach Rabbi Eliezer. We have Rav Malkio saying that the Halach is like this opinion of Rabbi Eliezer. Now, throughout Shas, we have a number of places where we have this upcoming little piece of Gemara. We'll go through it quickly. We have Rav Malkio and Rav Malkio each making certain statements, and in order to remember which one is which, the Gemara is going to tell us a mnemonic. So Amar Rabbi Chanina Berei D'Ravika, Rabbi Chanina Berei D'Ravika says, Shepud, the din that deals with the shpud. Rashi says, as to whether you're allowed to move this, is it muktzah or not after it's used? Shvachos, that's our din over here. And gumos, this is a din in nida, as to whether the two pubic hairs have to come from the same follicle, from a different follicle, in order for a girl to be considered a gedola. So all of those were said, Rav Malkio, he was the one that brought down these dinim. Beluris, the din dealing with beluris, which is like a certain type of haircut, like a mohawk of some sort, that the goyim used to use as part of their avodah zarah, as Gemara in avodah zarah tells us. Efer mikla, this is a certain type of ash that they would put in. It would be like a tattoo, that they would put this ash on a wound, but it would leave a residual, so it was a question of whether it's a tattoo or not. Ugvina, and eating the cheese, the Gemara in avodah zarah says that you're not allowed to eat the cheese made by non-Jewish people. So these were said by Rav Malkio. So in order to remember, Rav Malkio versus Rav Malkio, so we have a mnemonic. Rav Papa Amar Masnisin Umasnisa Rav Malkio. Those that were learned in a Mishnah or a Braisa were said by Rav Malkio. And Shmaisa, those that were halachas that were brought down, were all brought down by Rav Malkio. So this is how you remember this. V'simonech, Masnisa Malkisa. Rav Malkio is a feminine word, so it ends with an aleph. So the word masnisa is also a feminine word, so therefore you can connect these two, the Mishnah and the Braisa, which are feminine in the diktuk, so Rav Malkio, which is a feminine usage of a word as well, is connected to those two. That's the mnemonic the Rav Papa says. How is this any different? Might be nayu between what Rav Chanina Berei D'Ravika said, that Shpud Shvachos and Gumos are Rav Malkio, and Bluris Efer Mikla Agvina are Rav Malkio. So Ikum and Nayu Shvachos, the difference between them is the din by Shvachos, which is in the Mishnah. So, according to Rav Papa, that would be said by Rav Malkio, whereas Rav Chinin of Bari Ravika said it was said by Rav Malkio. Okay, finally we go to the last part of the Mishnah. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer Vechulei. Shimon Gamliel said that you can't go and let the wife do nothing because it will lead to shiamum, which is craziness. So Gemara says, how is this any different than Rabbi Eliezer? Hainu Tanakama. They both said that you shouldn't be idle. So Gemara says, no, Ika Benayu, de Metalala Beguriyasa Kitniyasa. There's a difference between them. For example, if she does something, she's not idle. So according to the Tanakama, Rabbi Eliezer, this would still be a problem because it could lead to a morality because she's not doing anything constructive. According to Rav Shimon Gamliel, where she is doing something so it won't lead to going crazy, so that would be the difference between these two opinions. Likewise, the Nadarshir, which is a game, which Rashi says is a word that means ishkakish, which sounds like it's chess, shkaki. And Rashi says this too, it could lead to immorality because she's wasting her time, but it won't lead to craziness because she's doing something. Bottom line is, both of them say that the woman should do something constructive, if at all possible, rather than doing things that are either worthless or nothing at all. I know we rushed through a lot of this, and we did quite a bit, so to catch up, There are also other ways to learn some of the Gemara that we did, especially the differences between Rav Malkiyo and Rav Malkiyah. In any event, we stop over here, and we'll pick up at the new Mishnah tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shiur.